Have you ever thought about what happens if the only pilot on board a single-engine piston airplane suddenly can't fly? Heart attack at 12,000 feet? A stroke over the Rockies? For most of aviation history, the answer was grim. But a few years ago, a piece of avionics changed that equation entirely. I'm Vector on Clear Direct Radio Hangar's Technology Deep Dive, and today we're going to pull apart one of the most impressive feats of engineering in general aviation, Garmin's Autoland system. How it works, what it actually does, and what it means for the future of cockpit automation. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. If you've hit a milestone in aviation, a first solo, your private certificate, an instrument rating, they make challenge coins that actually mean something beautifully crafted, built to last. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. All right, let's break this down. Garmin Autoland is officially called Autonomy, and it was introduced in 2019. It's available on the Piper M600 and the Cirrus Vision Jet. Two very different airplanes, which tells you something about the flexibility of the underlying engineering. The core idea sounds simple. Press a button, or in some failure scenarios, the system activates on its own, and the airplane flies itself to the nearest suitable airport and lands. No pilot input required. Simple idea, staggeringly complex execution. Here's what most people miss when they hear about Autoland. This is not just an autopilot that tracks a localizer and a glide slope. That technology has existed for decades on airliners. What Garmin built is a decision-making system. When Autoland activates, it has to solve a whole chain of problems in sequence, and it has to solve them fast. First, it has to figure out where it is. That part's straightforward, it uses GPS, but then it has to evaluate which airports are reachable given current fuel state, winds, and aircraft performance. It filters those airports by runway length, runway surface, and whether there's a GPS approach available. It picks the best option, and then it builds a flight plan to get there, including an approach, a descent profile, and a landing sequence. And it does all of this in seconds. Now think about what that means in terms of data. The system has a database of airports, runway dimensions, approach procedures, terrain, and obstacles. It knows the airplane's weight, fuel burn rate, and performance envelope. It factors in weather, at least in terms of winds aloft, and basic atmospheric data. It cross-references all of that in real time. This is not a pre-programmed script. Every Autoland activation is a unique problem solved on the fly, pun intended. Let me walk you through what happens from the passenger's perspective, because this system was designed with non-pilots in mind. That's a critical design philosophy that shaped everything about it. When Autoland activates, the screens in the cockpit change. The moving map zooms out to show the selected airport. A large clear text message appears that says, in plain English, the airplane is landing at whatever airport it chose. The system tunes the radio to the appropriate frequency and begins broadcasting on that frequency that an emergency autoland is in progress. It squawks 7700 automatically. It turns on all the exterior lights, and on the cockpit displays, it shows a simplified progress indicator so that a person with zero aviation knowledge can understand what's happening. You're here. The airport is there. You're going there. That human factor's work is, to me, almost as impressive as the flight control engineering. Garmin's team had to think about the worst-case user, someone who has never touched an airplane control, someone who might be panicking because the pilot next to them just lost consciousness. The interface had to be so clear and so calming that a terrified passenger could look at it and understand that the airplane was handling the situation. There's even a big red button on the screen that the passenger can press to talk to air traffic control. One button, no frequency selection, no microphone keying procedure, press, talk, that's it. Now let me get into the actual flight control side, because this is where the engineering really gets dense. During the en route phase, Autoland is essentially a sophisticated autopilot. It navigates to the airport, manages altitude changes, and controls speed. Garmin already had decades of experience with this kind of automation through their GFC 700 autopilot series. So the en route portion, while complex, is built on proven technology. The approach phase is harder. The system has to fly a GPS approach with lateral and vertical precision. In the Cirrus Vision Jet, which is a single engine jet, that means managing thrust very precisely to control both speed and descent rate. In the Piper M600, which is a turboprop, the power management is different but equally critical. The system has to handle configuration changes too. Gear extension, flap deployment, speed reduction, all of these happen at the right points in the approach, just as a pilot would do them. But without a pilot, the landing itself is the hardest part. And I want to be honest about this because it matters. The data tells an interesting story. Autoland uses GPS and radar altimeter data to execute the flare and touchdown. It does not use a traditional instrument landing system, localizer, or glide slope. It's all GPS-based, which means it needs very precise vertical positioning, and GPS vertical accuracy has historically been the weaker axis compared to lateral accuracy. Garmin solved this partly through the radar altimeter, which gives exact height above the ground during the final 50 feet or so, and partly through very refined flight control laws that were developed through thousands of test landings. And I do mean thousands. Garmin conducted an enormous flight test program for Autoland. We're talking about landings in crosswinds, landings on short runways, landings at high-altitude airports, landings in turbulence. They tested failure cases too. What happens if a GPS satellite signal degrades during the approach? What if the radar altimeter gives a bad reading? What if there's unexpected wind shear on short final? Every one of those scenarios had to have a safe outcome. The certification process itself was groundbreaking. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, had never certified anything quite like this for a Part 23 airplane. There was no existing regulatory framework that said, here is how you certify a system that lands a general aviation airplane without pilot input. Garmin and the FAA had to develop the certification basis together, essentially writing new rules as they went. That process took years and involved the FAA's own test pilots flying the system extensively. Now, here's where I want to give you the balanced picture, because as impressive as Autoland is, it has real limitations, and any honest technology analysis has to address those. Limitation number one, weather. Autoland can handle crosswinds up to a certain demonstrated limit, and it can fly through clouds on the approach. But it has no ability to evaluate visibility at the destination airport. It doesn't know if there's fog sitting on the runway. It doesn't know if there's a thunderstorm between the airplane and the airport. It uses available weather data, but it cannot see out the window the way a pilot can. In truly awful weather, the system might select an airport that a human pilot would reject. Limitation number two, traffic. Autoland communicates with air traffic control through automated radio calls, and it squawks the emergency transponder code. But it cannot respond to ATC instructions. If a controller tells the airplane to break off the approach because there's traffic on the runway, the system cannot comply. It's following its programmed approach path. Now, the emergency transponder code and the radio broadcasts mean that ATC will be clearing the way, but this is a real constraint. Limitation number three, runway environment. The system selects runways based on database information, but databases can be outdated. A runway might be closed for construction. There might be equipment on the runway surface. The system has no way to visually scan the runway environment before landing. These are not fatal flaws. They're engineering trade-offs, and they're trade-offs that Garmin made deliberately. The design philosophy was explicitly stated. Autoland does not have to be perfect. It has to be better than the alternative. And the alternative, when the only pilot on board is incapacitated, is an uncontrolled airplane. By that standard, Autoland is an enormous success. Even a landing in marginal conditions or with complications on the runway is vastly better than the airplane flying until it runs out of fuel and hitting the ground uncontrolled. Let me talk about where this technology is going, because Autoland isn't the end of this story. It's the beginning. Garmin has continued developing the Autonomy platform. The system has been expanded to more aircraft models. More importantly, the underlying technology, the ability of an avionics system to make complex decisions about navigation, approach selection, and flight path management. That technology platform has applications far beyond the emergency landing scenario. Think about this. If an avionics system can evaluate airports, build an approach, manage the airplane's configuration, and execute a landing, then you have the foundational technology for much broader cockpit automation. Reduced crew operations, enhanced autopilot capabilities that go beyond simple heading and altitude holds. Automated go-around decision-making, emergency divert automation that helps a fully conscious pilot manage a fuel emergency or an engine problem by presenting optimized options. The data from every Autoland-equipped airplane flying today feeds back into the system's development. Garmin learns about GPS accuracy in different environments, about how the flight control laws perform across a range of atmospheric conditions, about edge cases that the test program might not have fully explored. It's a continuously improving system. There's also a broader industry impact. Other avionics manufacturers are watching Autoland closely. The certification pathway that Garmin carved out with the FAA now exists as a precedent. Future autonomous or semi-autonomous systems for general aviation aircraft won't have to start from zero on the regulatory side. That precedent alone may be one of the most significant long-term contributions of the Autoland program. One more thing I think is worth reflecting on. Autoland represents a philosophical shift in how we think about general aviation safety. For decades, the primary safety strategy was train the pilot better, aeronautical decision-making, better instrument skills, better emergency procedures. And all of that is still essential. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But Autoland acknowledges a reality that training alone cannot solve. Medical incapacitation is not a skill problem. You cannot train your way out of a cardiac event at altitude. For single pilot operations, that scenario was essentially unrecoverable until this technology existed. Now it's survivable. That's a meaningful change. If you want to go deeper on this, the sources I drew from today include Garmin's own Autonomy technical documentation, the FAA's certification records for the Piper M600 and the Cirrus Vision Jet Autoland systems, and several excellent technical analyses from the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Vector. Fly safe and stay curious about the systems keeping you there.